morning, everybody. A very warm welcome to you all on this special Sunday, because it is own arrangement, and our Linda Todd has very kindly going to lead us in worship today. I know God has been with her as she's made the plans for today, and I hope you all appreciate what she's done for us and enjoy.
Good morning, everybody. I have to say, when the plan came out last November and LA, the dreaded words, which in Methodist speak mean DIY, you can imagine that it's not exactly the service that all the stewards rushed to sign up for. So thank you for coming this morning. Thank you, Shel, for your warm welcome. The Lord is with us, and I have to say I have a super team, including the Lord, who have helped me this morning to put together this service, including Alan. Our call to worship. Here we are, Lord, your people, gathered in your name on this, the Lord's Day. Here we are, Lord, stepping aside from the world out there to meet as your church. Here we are, Lord, seeking an encounter with you again, a fresh taste of grace. Here we are, Lord, we have come. Come amongst us by your Spirit, we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing our first hymn, which is O Worship the King. Seated. Thank you. Let us pray. Living God, in a world of much uncertainty and doubt, we turn to you again this Sunday. We come to you in worship to seek to know more of your presence. As we listen to readings from the Bible and reflections on those readings, may we hear your word to us. As we sing and hear the music of the hymns, may we encounter something of your Spirit dancing amongst us. As we hold moments of quiet and calm, may we know something of your peace amongst the tumult of our everyday life. Lord, may we respond by faith to what we hear and use our lips to share with others who you are. May we tell of your love and good deeds and inspire faith in those around us. Help us to have compassion for those in need and respond in love with acts of generosity and kindness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm now going to invite Shirley for our first reading.
This reading is from Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 to 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commandments I have written for their instruction." Then Moses set out with Joshua, his assistant, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and everyone involved in a dispute can go to them." When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up on the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Shirley. We stand and sing again, Immortal, Invisible.
Invisible.
our theme for today. Those of you looking forward to your pancakes next Tuesday will know that today is the final Sunday of Epiphany, and the last Sunday before Lent begins on Wednesday. In the Christian tradition, this is the Sunday when the church remembers the transfiguration of Christ. I'm sure it's a familiar story to most of us here. Jesus takes three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, up with him into a high mountain, and as we will hear later in the reading from Liz, he is transfigured before them. This particular episode in the life of Jesus is told in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, and each account gives us a wonderful and vivid description of what the disciples witnessed. As we are currently in Methodist lectionary year A, today we'll be hearing the reading from Matthew, and then it's recorded later in 2 Peter, as we shall also hear later in the service. Liz, may we have our second reading, please?
This reading is from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing again, "Christ is the world's light."
Christ is the world's light. Christ is the world's light. Christ is the world's light.
And now Linda will bring us our third reading, followed by which Alan will be showing us a clip from YouTube, which was written from the perspective of John for the Transfiguration, and it will lead in straight after the reading.
This reading is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 to 21. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honour and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God.
When the voice has finished speaking, we fell down to
sure you will agree that's a very beautiful rendition and, how can I put it, a depiction of the transfiguration and the wonder that the disciples must have felt that day. I invite you now to join with me in some responsive prayers. I will say the words in white type, and I would ask you to respond with the words in yellow, which will appear on the screen. Let us pray. Lord, you have called us to the mountaintop. Help us to look forward to where you would have us go. Help us to listen carefully to the words of your healing love. Open our hearts and spirits to receive your glorious directions. We are brought here today to be healed of our fears. Heal us, Lord Jesus, with your love and power. We are brought here today to glimpse the hope that Christ has for us. Open our hearts to receive that hope. Come, let us receive the vision and healing love of God. Praise be to God who continues to bless and restore us. Place your trust in the Lord in all your ways. Lord, we have come here to give our lives to you. Amen. Please remain seated as we sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. Now I would invite Jill to join me here at the lectern. Jill has very kindly stood in at the last minute for Ian, who sadly is not well today, to share a reflection on the three readings that we've heard today. One of the things that the Bible readings for today have in common is the mention of a particular feature landscape in our world, a mountain. Mountains are found throughout the world and throughout the Bible. In Exodus, Moses is summoned up the mountain by God. In Psalm 2, Mount Zion is described as God's holy hill. And in both the New Testament readings, the events described happen on what has become known as the Mount of Transfiguration. A Mountain is also the title of a poem by Betty Hares, who was a Methodist local preacher and was editor of Now magazine, for those of you who remember that. And for many years, she edited that magazine for the Methodist Church. And the words of her poem intersperse what follows.
A mountain, always a mountain. When he has things to tell, There heaven and earth meet in a long embrace, and rain floods through the dusty tear ducts of the soul and washes out all fear.
A mountain, the place where earth touches heaven. In times gone by, the notion of the closeness of the top of the mountain was to heaven, and was possibly influenced by the belief that heaven was just above the clouds. Now, of course, here in this century, we know that there's nothing much up there except space. So perhaps a better way of thinking about this, or picturing it in our own times, is that it's the place on earth where heaven can be experienced. The clearness of the air, the brightness of the light, the quietness and the isolation. The fact of being away from the activity of and the busyness of human life. All of these may create a feeling of heaven on earth, of being close to God. All of these can make a mountain the ideal place to experience the divine.
A mountain, always a mountain. When he has things to tell, there the white clouds roll back to show the face of God, and the sun blaze of his presence burns the rough rocks to glory.
The reading from Exodus tells us that the glory of God settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. In verse 17, we heard that to the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain. Even the people watching from below could see the sun blaze of God's presence on the mountain. The writer of Exodus goes on to say that Moses entered the cloud as he went on up the mountain. Did Moses come face to face with God in that cloud on that mountain? Figuratively speaking, it would seem that he did. At the very least, he had an intense experience of the divine, which kept him up the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights.
A mountain, always a mountain. When he had things to tell, there in the fullness of eternity, the measured moments are swallowed up, and time draws breath enough to hear his voice. Come, listen, go.
Peter, James and John also had an intense experience of the divine when Jesus took them up a mountain. In our reading from the Gospel of Matthew, we are told that Jesus took these three disciples up high in the mountain with him. While they were there, Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. The three disciples experienced the sun blaze of God's presence in the face of Jesus as time appeared to stand still. Time and eternity became merged, and the disciples heard a voice from the cloud. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Then the moment passed. They had come, they had listened, and now they must go. But many years later, Peter still remembered what had happened and related it in his second letter, which Linda read to us. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven whilst we were with him on the sacred mountain.
A mountain, always a mountain. When he had things to tell, there all the beginnings end and ends begin. There spring looks out towards summer, and joy laughs through the eyes of pain.
For Moses, the time on the mountain was a pivotal moment in the history of the Hebrew people. It was there that he would receive the law and the commandments that would shape the future direction of the Hebrew society and the Jewish religion. For Jesus too, as he led his three disciples up the mountain, he knew that he was facing a turning point, a crunch point in his ministry. In effect, this moment on the mountain, this moment of transfiguration, marked the end of the beginning of his public ministry, and also the beginning of the end. As he himself reflected the sunblaze of God and received the affirmation of his heavenly Father, he knew that there was now only one direction for him to go, fully accepting whatever fate awaited him there.
A mountain, always a mountain. When he had things to tell, there the round earth runs with the stars along the Milky Way, and the wide universe shouts welcome to the Lord who comes.
Following his transfiguration, Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem, not just for the salvation of humanity, but of the whole earth. As the Apostle John wrote, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. As followers of Jesus, may we allow ourselves to be transfigured and never cease to set our faces towards the light of Jesus, the light of this world. Amen. And now I will hand over to Jill to lead our prayers of intercession this morning. Thank you, Jill.
Thanks, Linda.
For our prayers of intercession today, we will take three periods of quiet in which we will bring our own prayers before God. Firstly, I invite you to call to mind somebody close to home who needs our prayers this day. Perhaps it will be someone in your own family, a close friend, or a member of this church community. In a moment of quiet, just hold that person's name or face or situation before a loving God. Loving God, show us the way to care for those we know, and let our hearts be tuned to love. Secondly, I invite you to call to mind a person or situation further afield which needs us to pray today. It might be something you have read about in the news, or a story that has found its way to you, but which you feel you need to pray for. Hold those people and that situation before a loving God. Please help all those communities who are struggling with recent flooding as a result of the storms Kiara and Dennis, those whose homes have been made uninhabitable, farmers anxious about fields underwater, and the many places at present extremely anxious about further rain. We thank you for the way so many communities have worked together in the past fortnight to help each other. Loving God, show us the way to care for our world and all those who call it home, and let our hearts be tuned to love. As unworthy stewards of our beautiful planet, help us to be especially aware in these times of the threat of disaster caused by climate change, plastic waste, etc., and help us all to do our best and to play our part, however small, in minimizing these problems. Finally, I invite you to spend a moment praying for the church. Perhaps it's this church here in this community, perhaps the wider Methodist circuit, or the church in the world. Let's hold God's people before a loving God. And may we bring to mind all those in places like China, North Korea, Iran, etc., where the regimes are strict and unforgiving, and life for many is a struggle. We also remember all those who have died and those who now have the coronavirus. Please aid all those people trying to stop it from spreading further. Loving God, show us the way to be a people who bring about the change we want to see in the world, and let our hearts be tuned to love. Amen. We will now say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We will now take up the offering.
And after a service full of light and shining, there is only one hymn that we can finish on. Please join us as we sing Shine, Jesus, Shine. And our final blessing this morning. May you go out from this place to meet with a God of boundless love. And may the grace of our Lord and Christ, Jesus Christ, our Saviour, rest and remain with you all, always. Amen.